Good morning. Good morning. The shiur today is on Megillat Esther. There are parts of the Megillah that in all of these years we never learned them, and we're going to take you someplace into the middle of the Megillah. And let's say that we are going to be studying the turning point. The turning point in the Megillah, in this dramatic story. Everything up until this point, the death of Vashti, because of the great parties that were being made. Did you put it on? And then, of course, after that, we are told that the king sought a new wife, and Esther is the one who becomes queen. We're told that big son Vashti had planned an attempt on the life of Ahasuerus, and it is Mordechai who uncovers the plot, tells Esther, and Esther tells the king in the name of Mordechai. Chapter 3 begins with the meteoric rise to power of Haman ben Hamdasa, Ha'agogi Tzorer HaYehudim, rises to power, and everybody is bowing and bending and scraping before him. Mordechai lo yichreb lo yishtachaveh, Mordechai will not bend nor bow before him. And day after day this takes place in the courtyard of the palace, until finally they bring it to Haman's attention that this Mordechai does not bow down. Haman becomes angry. He does not want to make it a personal struggle against Mordechai, so he makes it a national struggle. And he comes to the king, and he is able to convince the king to wipe out utterly Lahashmid al-Harid al-Abid at Kol Yehudim, to destroy all of the Jewish people. Then Mordechai comes to Esther and tells her, Esther, you have to go to the king now and tell the king and beg and plead and importune and cry. These are the orders and the instructions that Mordechai gives Esther. The orders come via Hatach. Hatach is a fellow who was carrying messages from Mordechai to Esther, because Mordechai is out in the street someplace wearing sackcloth with ash, and you can't come into the palace with sackcloth and ash. Now, Vatomer, in our text now, this is the middle of chapter 4 of the Megillah. Vatomer Esther l'Hatach, vatetzaveihu el Mordechai. How many times have I told you over the years that sometimes when I'm saying a shiur to you, I notice a word that I didn't notice before. I notice the significance of a word. Vatomer Esther, Esther said l'Hatach vatetzaveihu el Mordechai. She commanded him about Mordechai. Do you understand what that word means? I didn't understand the significance until now. A dramatic change. A dramatic change has taken place. I call it the turning point. I thought the turning point was a few psukim later. No. This is the turning point. When Esther is giving commands to Mordechai, do you know what that means? Esther is taking charge. The personality who has been in the forefront of all of the events up until this point, Mordechai, not anymore. Mordechai is going to have one last moment over here, but it's all beginning to change. Vatetzaveihu El Mordechai. She commanded him. What did she command him? She said, "Kol avdei hamelech va'am medinot hamelech yodim." All, by the way, the translation for this is on the other side. Couldn't get the translation on the same side. For that matter, I can even say, you know, I did it just for Purim fun, you know. You have to keep going from one side to the next side, one side to the next side. I just couldn't get it on one side. She said, all the servants of the king and in all of the nations, they know Asher Kolish V'ish Asher Yahweh HaMelech, any man or woman who comes to the king, Elach Hotzer, Hapanimit, to the inner courtyard, Asher Lo Yikareh, who shall not be called. Everybody knows this. The whole world knows it. You can't just come walking in and knocking on the door of the throne room. Everybody knows that Asher Kol Ish V'Ish Asher Yahweh HaMelech, any man or woman who comes to the king, Elach Hotzer Apanimit, to the inner courtyard, Asher Lo Yikarei, that will not be called, Achaz Dosser Lahomis. One law, the law is death. Levad, an exception. May Asher Yoshid Lo HaMelech at Sharbit HaZahav V'Choya, except for the one to whom the king is going to extend his golden scepter, then he will live. Valni lo nikreti lavo el amalach. I have not been called to come to the king. Zesh lo shim yom. 30 days. I haven't been called to the king. There's some kind of a rupture in their relationship. I'm going to walk in there. I'm going to be killed. Vayakidu lo Mordechai et divrei Esther. They told Mordechai the words of Esther. Vayomer Mordechai lo hashiv el Esther. These are very, very severe words that are going to come out of Mordechai's mouth to Esther. Vayomer Mordechai lo hashiv el Esther. Mordechai said to reply to Esther, Al tedami b'nafsheich lehimalei beit hamelech mikol hayehudim. Don't imagine for a moment that from all of the Jews in the world, you're going to be saved because you're in the house of the king. Because if you remain silent, faith hazot at this time, there will be salvation to the Jewish people. It will come from another source. And you and your father's house will be lost. And who even knows whether at this time next year you will still be the queen. Esther said to reply to Mordechai, here is where the next great step in the turning point takes place. Esther is now giving orders. These are the orders. Leich kenosis kol ha'yudim. She doesn't say please. She just say go gather together all of the Jews haninsem b'shushan that are in Shushan. V'tzumu alai and fast for me. V'al tochlu v'al tishtu and don't eat nor drink. Shloshes yom in 3 days. Laila v'yom day and night and day. Gam ani v'naro tayotzum kengam. I also and my girls will fast so. U'b'chein. And in this manner, with all of the prayers of the Jewish people of Oal HaMelech, I will come to the king, Asher Lo Chadat, though it is against the law, the Chasher Avadati, Avadati. And if I'm going to be lost, I will be lost. If I'm struck down and killed, that's what will be. Vayavor Mordechai. Mordechai has received his instructions, and Mordechai proceeds to act on the instructions of the new leader of the Jewish people. The leader of the Jewish people, the dominant personality now, is Esther. Yes?
You know, Phil told us this morning that up to this point in which Esther was in the palace for 5 years.
After this point, what?
Until this point, Esther was in the palace for 5 years.
Esther was what?
In the palace for 5 years.
Yes, so?
It's a long time. There's more people
to know
it.
Oh. And what happened at the end of the 5 years?
That's the point.
Now she's what?
Now she's taking control.
But it says, but she was taking against her will, so she obviously was
terrified. All right. Let me straighten everything out over here. Phil's class ended 15 minutes ago. This is Gold's class. I have my own things to say. I'm not interested in any information, because you're going to lose the point that I want to make that has nothing to do with whether she was 5 years here or 5 years there. Okay? All right? We got it straight? Esther is now giving orders. You know, you understand? I'm not giving stats. I'm not giving Torah tidbit statistics. I want to say a shir. And then you'll have to explain to me after the shir what it all meant anyway. Okay. Or I'll get a hold of Phil. All right. Yes?
I know, okay, this is getting to your shir now.
Yeah, it better be.
That is beautiful, that we can learn from it. And Queen Esther, that not only that she gave over, but she took it upon herself to say, I also been a prophet. Not like some of our leadership.
Now you're becoming political. I have prepared. Do me a favor. I prepared a serious shear, and it's degenerating into. All right. Okay. Very good. Vayavar Mordechai crossed. Vayaski Choashet Sifta all of Esther, and he did everything that Esther commanded him. Everything that Esther commanded him. She is now the one who's issuing the orders. By the way, here is another fascinating word. I think some years ago I may have pointed it out. What does Vayavar mean? Vayavar.
Passover?
What? Passover where? What Passover?
Jump over
what? Jump over where? What? Why couldn't it simply say that Mordechai went and did as she told him to do? What's the Vayavar? Vayavar is extremely significant. And I didn't plan on saying this. What?
Because it was Pesach.
Okay. Vayavar, so okay, this is part of, so it's becoming a comical shear over here. Vayavar, he passed over the. No! No! Alright, this is getting very unruly, so I'll tell you, you know what the significance of the Vayavar is? There have always been. Always been those who've intellectuals or others who say that the Megillah is just a love story, a funny love story. There's no sanctity to it. It can't be part of the holy writings. The whole thing is a joke anyway. Who can believe such stories? Okay, so you should know, when you listen to the Megillah this coming Sunday night, if you live in Yerushalayim, or this Motzoi Shabbos, if you live in Ramat Chain or some of those other places out there, right, you will notice that in the Megillah there are two terms used for the city, Shushan and Shushan HaBira. And you know what you have to know? You have to know that Shushan HaBira was the seat of government. Shushan was the city. There was a big city, Shushan, but there was sort of Kiryat HaMemshala, all the government offices in the palace. Separating Shushan HaBira and Shushan was the river. And this little word Vayavar, Where is Mordechai going now? He has to bring the message to the Jewish community of Shushan. He has to cross the river, the moat, whatever you want to call it, Vayavar. Any other pshat in the word Vayavar means one doesn't know pshat. And it's so significant that whoever wrote the Megillah, it's clear that they knew exactly what the city of Shushan looked like, knew exactly with the Kiryat HaMemshala, everything is so perfect. For example, earlier there was a pasuk that said, "Vahadat." The law was given in Shushan. In Shushan Habira, Vahir Shushan, and the city of Shushan was Avela, was an Avelut. Two separate entities. Vayabor Mordechai, he crossed over in from Shushan Habira, Shushan, the capital, he crosses over into Shushan. And he gives these instructions. This is the beginning of chapter 5. And it came to pass by Yom HaShlishi on the third day, Batil Bash Esther Malchus. Esther clothed herself in royal raiments, Batamod Bachatzar Beit HaMelech HaPnimit, and she stood in the inner courtyard of the house of the king. Nochach Beit HaMelech, facing the house of the king, meaning facing the throne room. There was a Chotzer HaChitzona. There was an outer perimeter, an outer courtyard. There was an inner courtyard which brings one up to the throne room. She is standing in the Chatzer HaPnimit. The Chatzer HaPnimit. Nochar Beit HaMelech, Bar-Melech Yosef HaKisei Malchuto, and the king is sitting on his throne. The Beit HaMalchut in the house of the king. Nochach petach habayit, and of all things, when she arrives, the king happens to be there, and he's sitting facing, and that means she is precisely within his vision. He is able to see her. He wasn't always sitting there. Everything seems to be fitting in perfectly, but here comes the moment of truth. She may be struck down and killed because he will not extend to her the scepter, or not. Vayehi, and it came to pass, Kirot HaMelech at Esther HaMalka, when the king saw Queen Esther, Omedet Bechatzer, standing in the courtyard, Nosochein v'yeinav, she found favor in his eyes. The Gemara says that this was a divine favor that overcame him. And Esther stretched out to the king the golden, the king, everything is the opposite. And the king stretched out the scepter, Hashem b'yadov, that is in his hands, v'tikrav Esther, and Esther drew close, v'tikrav b'rosh ha'sharbet, and she touched the top of the scepter. V'yomer lo ha'melech, and the king said to her, Malach Esther, Amarko, what is it, Queen Esther? Umar bakashateich, and what is it that you request? Al katsi ha'malchut v'yinatein lach, up until half the kingdom shall be given to you. You know, we read these psukim, and we read them, and you know, we think we know what they mean, and we don't realize that there's something extremely profound that is taking place here. The first step in what is taking place before our very eyes is a dramatic personality change. Esther was quiet. Esther was reserved. Esther was, unfortunately, the tragic Jewish frume meidelach kol kvuda bas melech penima, who have been thrown into a world that is light years away from her own religious and family life. She has become the wife against her wishes. She has become the wife of this tyrant and Russia, a one who was a killer of millions and now is the potential killer of all of her nation. She's been reserved. She's been laid back. She is the silent one. She does not reveal a thing about her background. The king has made many attempts to find out, where does she come from? What is her family like? He knows nothing about her. She doesn't say a word. And this laid back, quiet, maybe even introverted young lady is now standing up and literally commanding a Jewish people, taking her life into her hands, walking out there and standing regally and royally before the ruler of the whole world. This is not the Esther that we know. This is a completely different Esther. We're going to find an Esther who is going to turn into somebody brilliant, sensitive, cunning, conniving, strong, determined. We would never have used those words about Esther before. But I think there's one key word, and I never really noticed this key word before, but it struck me now. This is the key word. And this is how she is going to, she is beginning right now in these psukim, she is beginning to shake up Ahasuerus. There's something that's happening to the king. The king is undergoing a dramatic change. There's something happening over here. And you know what? In one word, the word already appeared earlier. For that matter, it already appeared twice earlier. What did she say? She had told Esther, wait a minute, you should know that anybody who comes to the king who has not been invited, achat, dato lahamit, the law is put to death. Except for the one to whom the king is going to extend the scepter of gold. And then she tells him, if you're going to pray for me, I'm going to come to the king asher lo kadat, against the law. So I got a little shook up my Megillat Esther, or one of my many Megillot Esther, like we all have. And I began to trace this word. Dat. Dalad Tav. You don't have this here. Just listen, I'm going to read. Take you through a little journey through the Megillah. At the beginning, the king makes a party. Vahashtiya Kadat. The drinking is, you know, there's a law, there's a rule to the drinking. I wouldn't be a bit surprised it means you have to drink, you should drink. The accepted thing to do is to drink. But we're not finished with that word at all. The king gets very angry because Vashti refuses to come to him. Vayomar HaMelech L'Chachalim, he said to the wise men, Yodei Ha'itim, those who know how to relate policy to the times, Lifnei Kol Yodei Das Vadin, those who know Dat and Din. We're going to have to know what's the difference between Din, law, and Dat. Okay. And what's the question that he's going to ask them? Can Dat Ma Lasot Bamalto Vashti? What should be the rule, the law, the Dat? What should we do with this queen who has refused to come? Then finally it says in the same first Perek, if it is good in the eyes of the king, and a royal edict shall go out, then it shall be written. Number 4, fourth time, the word has appeared. By the way, in the first 19 psukim in the Megillah, the word dat appears now for the fourth time. It's going to be written, inscribed, engraved into the laws of Parasumadai, Velo Yavar. You don't play games with Dase Parasumadai. Nobody is committed to transgress that. Ashalotavai, that since Vashti did not come as the king had commanded, she was put to death. Okay? They send all of this information out throughout the world. Ah, then the king is looking for a wife in the second chapter. When the word of the king and does so, dapo, it's already sort of a law, or it's the accepted mode of conduct. It's one of the mores of the country that the king is looking for a wife, and anybody who has a daughter such and such age should bring her before the king. That was the dot. All right. I think there are about 14 or 15 times in the Megillah. I had time to underline them all, but I didn't have time to count them up. But take a look. Vayomer Haman Lamelech Achashverosh. Haman says to King Achashverosh, when he wants to convince him to destroy the Jewish people utterly, so he says, "Yes, no, Am Echad. There is one people, Nefuzad and Nefodad. Vein." Spread out, dispersed amongst all the nations, the whole Medinot Malchutecha, in all of the states of your kingdom. V'dotehem shonot mikol am. Their datim are different than all other nations. V'dateh hamelech enam alzim. V'dateh hamelech they don't do. And therefore la melech ein shovel hanichol, it's not worth keeping them. Obviously, that is something completely different than din. Din is law. We know exactly what law is. You're not allowed to steal. You're not allowed to kill. This is the punishment for illegal parking. There are all sorts of laws. A dot is something of a different kind. A dot represents what is acceptable in our society, what is a custom in our society, what represents the morals or the ideas in our society. Datei hamelech einam alsim, they don't do that, then they ought to be wiped out. I mean, it's serious stuff. You don't keep the dot. Should be wiped out. You know what's happening here when Esther is coming to the king? Asher lo kadat. She's breaking the dot of Paras Umanai. What did we learn at the beginning? Asher kol medinot and kolam v'am know that anybody who comes to the king, achaz dato l'hamit. You know what Achashverosh's problem is? Achashverosh is caught within a system of law and order. The law is worshipped. Whatever is the normal way of conduct, this is the way it's got to be. Any deviation simply is not tolerated. The society can't tolerate it. The leadership can't tolerate any deviation. Most probably the dictatorial leadership of the country depends on the law that is going to keep everybody in line. You can't break the law. Law is used in many ways, I would say, pathologically. I mean, we can use examples, there are those who keep telling us that this country is a country of chok. There's a law. The law is the law. Maybe the law is unjust. Maybe the law is absurd. Maybe the law is ridiculous. No. There's a fear. There's a terror of touching the law. The law is above everything. Les Miserables, what was the name of the detective Gilbert who's pursuing Jean Valjean for 20 years because when he was hungry he stole a loaf of bread, and he's going to make sure that this Jean Valjean is going to spend his whole life rotting away. He broke the law. The law takes on a life of its own. Ahasuerus needs the law, because only the law is going to keep all of the masses of people who are being trampled upon by him. The law is the only thing that's going to keep everybody in check. Breaking the law, doing something ashalokadat, is shaking, it's upsetting. It means a necessity to get used to a completely different way of doing things and thinking. Ahasuerus doesn't want that to happen in the worst way. He cannot tolerate a people that Dosehem Shonos, their mores and their morals and their way of conduct are different. We're not talking about Lo Tirzach and Lo Tigno. Jews and Ahasuerus, but remember, Ahasuerus Lo Tirzach is only who he deems should not be killed. If he decides that his wife, who has refused to parade naked before the whole world, should be put to death, that's the law. That becomes enshrined, it becomes holy, that's the right thing. But it's not the right thing. It's evil. He has made a dot, a new dot. The new dot is that the entire Jewish people are going to be slaughtered. Is it wrong? No, it's not wrong. It's part of the dot. And as long as we maintain this wall of law of dot, then everything's okay. Everything's okay. When he sees Esther standing there, you know what he's watching to his horror? He is watching somebody trampling the law. The dot is being trampled before his very eyes. She's come to the king, as she said it herself. You pray for me, I will come to the king. Asher lo kadat. Lo kadat. Lo kadat is something that can shake the entire empire. Because the only thing that keeps the empire going is this impregnable, seemingly impregnable wall of dot. And it's just now been punctured. There's a breach in the wall. And the breach in the wall has been committed by no less than the queen herself. And no less than the queen herself in her relationship with the king. So the Eibishter upheaven, God Almighty. This is calculated by Esther. Do you know what this? You know what she has in mind? If she can begin to get Ahasuerus to question the sanctity and holiness of the dot, oh, maybe he will begin to see that there are other datim of Paras Umadai that are not terribly good or beneficial, that there may be absurdities and cruelties and evil that have become the dot. You don't have to tell that to us. We don't have to tell that to us. We've lived through a period of time in which the worst crimes against you, the Jewish people, were all part of the law. That was the law. This is what has to happen to this people. And they systematically went ahead to keep the law. And more than that, the average German or Ukrainian or Pole joined that massive army of people who kept the law. They all joined together. The story of the Megillah is the story of dot. What dot can mean, and how it can become perverted, how it become ugly, cruel, and evil. And as she stands there, and it's against Ahasuerus. Intellectually, he's telling himself, no. Intellectually, he's telling himself, I have to kill her. I have to kill her. She's broken the law. her breaking the law, do you know what kind of precedent that is? You know, you always hear this stuff, precedent. You know, everybody uses the word precedent for their own purposes. Right? If you're going to permit this, before you know it, Tzahal is going to collapse. Tzahal is going to collapse. If a soldier is to refuse to do something evil, oy, a demokratie shalanu mitmotetet. Wait a minute, take it easy. Ahasuerus is beginning to learn now. Remember, we're at this scene. She's standing there. I don't want to say he's sitting here. No, he's sitting there. And she's standing there. And the law is being broken. The law is being broken in the palace. This is more than a turning point. It's a mahapach. A revolution is taking place. A serious revolution is taking place. Ahasuerus from this moment on is not going to be terribly sure of himself. Ahasuerus, she has to find a way. She has to find a way in order to get him to change his mind. Now, what the brilliance of Esther over here is that she's different than Mordechai. What did Mordechai want her to do? Mordechai wanted her to do come in over there and get down on the floor and pound and cry and scream. She understood that that's not going to work with this fellow. This fellow is Agosha Magosha. You're going to have to get to him a different way. You're going to have to shake up a little bit his self-confidence. You're going to have to start breaking down some of the walls of protection around him. You're going to have to do things that are going to weaken his resolve, his own self-confidence, for that matter, his image of himself. You know what she's going to have to do? She's going to have to create in the palace tension, suspicion, jealousy, anger, fear, jealousy. That's what she's going to proceed to do. She's going to use her holy womanly wiles in order to shake up the whole plot against the Jewish people. That's what she's going to do. And she knows that step one is the chink in the armor of Dat. The law? No. The whole world doesn't stand just on the law. There are other things aside from law. There's compassion, there's goodness. A lot of things in this world aside from the law. You get yourself caught and locked within the law. You can do the worst evil of all. And to a much lesser degree, but we have it here. The idea of the law, Iber Alles, the law, the Bagatz, Shmagatz, Vey. When the religious community 15 years ago came out against the Bagatz, they were attacked by everybody. You know what? They were right. And I should say it even better. When the Haredi community came out against the Bagatz, they were attacked. And some of our Gresa Tzadikim in the Dati Lumi community are the ones who attack them. And now we've already reached the point where the left is beginning to attack the Supreme Court. It's not so supreme. It's not so supreme. Law has to take into consideration a lot of feelings and a lot of ideas for it to be a law of the land. But she has just broken, chipped away at that idea of law. What Esther does as she stands before the entryway into the palace, she is shaking everything up. People are not going to be reacting and responding in the way in which they did before. We're going to look right away at the Gemara, because the Gemara is going to tell us What does she do now? What happens here right now? She's standing there. Yeah? So he asks her, and by the way, you can hear a word of concern. He knows that she's broken the law. She has broken a law where the penalty is death. Why did she do it? This is what Ahasuerus has to know. So, you know what happens when he asks her, Malach, what's wrong with you? What happened? What's wrong, Esther? He knows that she just put her life on the line. What's so important? What's happening? He's now concerned. He's concerned. He's worried. He's suspicious. What's going on over here? Now, so he asks her, Malach, Esther, Amalka, what's troubling you? And what is it you seek? Until half the kingdom, and it shall be given to you. Interesting, of course, to note that the Gemara says Ab Chatsi HaMalchus, the two pshatim. One is, you know, the magnanimous, loving, adoring husband says, you know, we can have half of the kingdom. But the Gemara goes one step further. And says Ab Dovar HaChotze, except something that will split my kingdom in half. And you know what that is? Binyan Bet HaMikdash, building the Holy Temple. It was Haman and his sons who brought about the change of the law. Koresh had already given permission, Jews had begun to build, they're in Eretz Yisrael right now, as Esther stands there to plead for all of the Jewish people. There are Jews in Yerushalayim who had been building the Bet HaMikdash, and construction was stopped. There was not a pause, not a 10-month hakpa'ah, freeze. There was an order, no building in Yerushalayim. I'm telling you, you understand that? Those, history repeats itself, it's unbelievable. Who was behind the hakpa'ah, the freeze? Who was behind it? Haman and his sons. They were the ones that were cooking up all sorts of, I imagine they came to Eretz Yisrael to demonstrate. They most probably were human shields for somebody or other. They were being funded by the Germans and the French, and they come to Eretz Yisrael and they succeed in getting Ahasuerus to stop construction of the Beit HaMikdash. Finish. That's it. No more construction. He knows that that's the most divisive thing in his kingdom. If he attempts to thaw the freeze, end the freeze on construction, he may be in very, very serious political difficulty. So he tells, I'll do anything for you, but don't ask me to do that. It's unbelievable, the parallels to what's going on in our days. But that's not the subject of this year. But wait a minute. I always am fond of quoting what the former the Friedrich Lubavitcher Rebbe Zchuso Yogein Oleinu Amen, what he would say very often on Purim in the name of the Baal Shem Tov. There is a halacha in Hilchus Megillah. The halacha is Hakorei et Hamegillah Lemafreya. One who reads the Megillah lemafreya. Now the word lemafreya has a number of meanings. In the Gemara, the halacha is if you read it out of order, the former before the latter, and the latter, you start reading the Megillah, you read the third chapter, and then you read the sixth, and then you do the seventh, then you do the first, then you do the eighth. At the end of a half an hour, you've read the entire Megillah, but you read it out of order. You don't fulfill the mitzvah. No. But the word lemafreya also means previously, meaning the following. Baal Shem Tov said, somebody who reads the Megillah and reads it like a story of yesteryear, once upon a time. Like this once happened, but it's really completely out of the realm of reality, has not fulfilled the mitzvah at all, he's not going to learn a thing from the Megillah. You have to read the Megillah as though it's all happening before your very eyes now. And we certainly have no difficulty with this whatsoever, because the major events of the Megillah are happening right now. We have I was going to say Baruch Hashem, but maybe we have our Haman from the same part of the world. Ahmadinejad is out, Lahashmid Laharim, Alabid is Kola Yehudim, Minar, Barzok, and Tavanoshim. And then he has a whole bunch of people, community, government leaders throughout the world that are with him, are against him, have him make receptions for him. It's unbelievable. It's a crazy world we're living in, you understand? Sanctions, niche sanctions, little sanctions, big sanctions. So we have our fixed Haman. Ahasuerus, kings and presidents that are tipshim, we have an overabundance of them. You understand? We have all the Achashverishes in the world you want. Or all the world are Achashverishes. You got it all over there. Do you have Achatzi HaMalchus? 10 billion? We have it all. It's all the same. The only thing that we don't know is who's the Mordechai and who's the Esther. Tzipi Livni, it certainly is not. Right? So I don't know. But the important thing is the wall of law has been breached. So therefore she says to him, now, he asks, what do you want? What do you want? What is it? What can I do for you? If she would be following the instructions of Mordechai, what would she do at this moment? This is the moment she's been waiting for. This is the moment. He's asked her, what do you want? So now this is all deserved. All my people are going to be destroyed, so man is an upheaven. And maybe prostrate herself before his feet, hold on to his feet and beg and plead. That's what Mordechai had told her. Go to the king, to Tishchanelo, beg of him. No. Esther's intuition is telling her a completely different story. No, she's not going to beg here, because here this is the moment in which, you know, you've been given sort of license. Blank check, what do you want? So she said, it says, Ratomer Esther, Im al ha-melech tov, if it's good in, for the king, Yavoh ha-melech for Haman ha-yom al ha-mishtar shero, sisi loy, let the king and Haman come today to the party that I had made for him. Vayomer ha-melech, and the king said, and from one word, Maharu es Haman, hurry Haman, hurry him here. Why hurry? You know why hurry? He doesn't know what she wants. And more than anything else in the world, you know what he wants? He wants to know, what does this woman want from me? And the only way he's going to find out is if there's going to be a party with him and Haman, Maharu es Haman. To do that, would you? This is so out of character to this laid back, introverted Megala, who has gone through a process of changing her own personality in order to save Klal Yisrael. Tvar Esther. Esther is commanding, Esther is speaking. Oh, and the king and Haman came to the Mishnah. I share also saw Esther that Esther made. The king said to Esther at the party, what is it that you ask for? And what do you seek? Second time she's been giving the great opportunity. Is this the moment at which to finally say, save us? Vatan Esther Vatoma She'elati U'Bakashati. Now watch. You know how it is, I'm not going to say it in English. You can take somebody's neshama out. Somebody wants something. Wait a minute. this king, more than anything else, wants to know what does she want. Watch, I'm gonna say it the way I think she said it. She answered and she said, "What I'm asking for, and what I seek, in Motsosi came, if I have found favor in the eyes of the king, v'im al hamelech tov, and if it is good to the king, lakeidet sheilati." He's plotting! What are you draying a cup already? Tell me what you want! If it's good to the king to give what I've asked for, the last thought at Bakashati, Yavor HaMelech v'Haman, let the king and Haman come tomorrow while I'm Mishta, Asher Esa Lehem. U'machor Esa, and tomorrow I'm going to do Kedvar HaMelech. Tomorrow I will do what the king said. You understand? There's one thing is for sure. If I would be Ahasuerus, the first thing I'd do now is take another drink. Take another drink. She's taking the neshama out of him. Taking the neshama. If he would be good old Ahasuerus, he'd say, "Listen, Esther, you tell me now, or you're dead meat here. I'm going to have your head cut off." No. There's something. You know what? Why he doesn't do that?
Why?
Because you really want to know, Mr. Stone? You really want to know? Because he's not so sure of himself anymore. The protective cover of the law doesn't seem to protect him anymore. Did you like that? Did you hear the rhyme? The protective cover of the law does not help him anymore. Right? He's not so sure of himself. He has to know what it is. You know what? When a woman doesn't want to say, short of a diamond brooch, you can't get a word out of her. No word. She has shaken him up completely. Lost in all of this can be something else. Maybe what may very well be the most important message of the Megillah. We're going to go through. I can stay a few minutes longer today. I'm not saying my second share. We learned last week, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu makeh et Yisrael. God never strikes the Jewish people until he has already prepared the refuah in advance. Last week we learned it. That was the Rabbeinu Bechaya who says, why is Parshas Truma, the parsha of building the Mishkan, written in the Torah before Maisa HaEgel, before Kisisa, where the Egel is, we're told about the Egel, even though historically, chronologically, he holds it was the opposite way. The Mishkan is said in Parshas Truma to tell you that the Rosh has the refuah ready before the Makkah. That means everything is in place already. But you know what it needs? The greatest of miracles. The greatest of miracles for it to become operative. You know what it needs? A human being who's going to act. Klal Yisrael brings the ness only when there's a human being who's going to act. No! He's not going to bring Mashiach and then send limousines through Borough Park and Flatbush, picking people up, taking them to the airport, and putting them on first class El Al. And Chavrei Knesset, of course, will sit in the economy. That's not the way it's going to be. That's not the way it's going to be. Every step in the building of Eretz Yisrael requires the work of men. And do you know what comes side by side or simultaneously with the work of man? The Hashgacha Pratis. the Hashgacha protest that turns Eretz Yisrael into a land that will provide for millions, a world that's going to allow it, or so it will be, that millions of Jews are going to come back. It does not happen alone. There's no magic wand. There always has to be the human being who presses the button and begins the process going. Esther is the one who creates the miracle, because, and Chazal say it so beautifully, Vayehi b'yom ha'shlishi, on the third day, beginning of the chapter, Vayehi b'yom ha'shlishi, on the third day, Vatil bash Esther malchus. Esther was in her royal raiments, her royal robes. Chazal are really trying to describe to us that as there is a scene playing itself out here on the face of this earth, there's another scene taking place in heaven. All great things happen to Klal Yisrael by Yom HaShlishi. Vayehi b'yom ha'shlishi, and Avram sees the mountain from afar. The Akedah is going to take place on the Yom HaShlishi. There's the Chodesh HaShlishi, when Torah is going to be given 3 days before Jews prepare themselves. Vayehi b'yom ha'shlishi, v'hiyot ha'boker, after the, on the third day of the preparations for Sinai, they get up in the morning and they hear the world trembling and shuddering. The third day. You know what's going on up in heaven and down below? Esther is there. Up there, the Rabbeinu Shalom, Malachi Mala. It's going to be a long day for the Rabbeinu Shalom, because at the end of this day is going to come the night, and that night the king doesn't sleep. It's going to be a long, long day. The king is not going to sleep. And you know what else is happening? The palace has a chotzer hachitzona. There's an outer courtyard. There is an inner courtyard. After the inner courtyard is the throne room. Imagine the azara, the chotzer of the Beit HaMikdash. The inner courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash. The throne room where the Kodesh HaKodashim is. It's Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol is coming in to pray for the Jewish people. Esther is replaying this right now. She is the one, as the Gemara says, she was cloaked with Ruach HaKodesh. A divine presence comes down upon her. She is the Shliach Tzibur of Klal Yisrael, and she is moving closer and closer to the Kodesh HaKodashim. Two scenes taking place at the same time. By the way, in all of Jewish history it's true. Whenever there is a crisis, whenever Jewish history is unfolding, and it's always unfolding, there is a similar scene taking place in heaven. But you know what they wait for in heaven? The signal from below. The signal from below, Esther. You know what else? I'm going to tell you something. Yeah. What, in a sense, defines Purim for us? What? Frivolity? Everybody breaks all the laws, because that was the beginning of the Ness. You do on Purim things you'd never do any other time of the year. Mitans, mishtik, mitutah. Everybody get all dressed up. The kind of things you would do on any other day of the week, you'd look like such an idiot. On Purim it's in. Because what was the Ness of Purim? The Ness started in this chapter. The Ness starts with breaking the law. The dosim, the way it has to be. No. Esther comes to the king, Ashalokadat. No. Breaking down the dot. Breaking down these mores and morals and means of conduct that really are meaningless. That's the beginning of the nest. By the way, I have a feeling that this breakdown of the law existed only until the Jewish people were saved and the Gzeira was over. I always wondered, and now I understand it, there are three psukim in the last chapter of the Megillah. Vayasam HaMelech HaChashverosh Mas Al Ha'aretz V'Hayam. King HaChashverosh placed a tax on the land and the islands. The whole master talked with Raj Dor, Mardcha Hashem, Halorim, Ksuvim, all of this, the whole story is written, I'll save it there, I know, Malchim, Madapar. What do I have to know about the taxes? What do I have to know about it? It always bothered me. This is the way to end the Megillah. He taxed them. You know what the Megillah is saying? Everything went back to what it originally was. They were back to Dosei Parasumadai, Das HaMelech, Das this, Das that. It was shaken up for the period of time that was necessary in order to save the Jewish people. After that, they're going to go back to their old ways all over again. There was an interruption. There was a rupture in the normal course of things, and everything changes. And that's why it says V'na'apohu. Everything's turned topsy-turvy. Things are being done that were not done under other circumstances. This is a departure from the norm. This is a dramatic departure from the norm. I think I have shiurim now for about the next 3 years before. So just throw one thing in, and in Yetzer Hashem next year we'll elaborate on it. The end of this chapter. Let's just read another few psukim. Not in a rush. Give me another 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Should we take a vote? How many people give me another 4 or 5 minutes? Who's opposed? Okay. Okay. So she says, come tomorrow. Tomorrow I will do with it. Why doesn't she say it now? You know why she doesn't? Did I ask a good question? Yeah, she likes my question. You know why she doesn't say it now? I'll tell you another thing that I thought of. You inspire me too much. Do you know the position that she's in right now? Only one other person in Jewish history can I imagine was in somewhat of a similar situation. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is spirited out of the city of Yerushalayim and he's standing before Vespasian, I better watch myself, the historian is here, and I just asked for another 4 minutes. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is standing before Vespasian and he asks him, what can I do for you? You know, Ad Chatzia Malchus, what is it that you want? Do you know the difficulty? It may be one of the most significant moments in Jewish history, and he can't turn to anybody for advice. He can't, this is it. There are seconds left in which he has to give the answer to Vespasian. What do you want? He doesn't have the Sanhedrin, he doesn't have his Chaverim, there's nobody he can be in touch with, there's nothing. He has to make the decision all alone. And therefore it may very well be true that until the end of his life, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was concerned, maybe I made a mistake, I should have asked for Yerushalayim. Why didn't I ask for Yerushalayim? Esther now holds the faith of the entire Jewish people in her hands. What do you want, Esther? Ad chatzi amalchus v'teyas. She has to give an answer. She can't confer with anybody. She can't speak to anybody. She can't ask anybody. There's nobody to turn to. She has to make the decision all alone. And you know what her holy intuition tells her? There's been no sign. I don't have an indication. I don't have any way of knowing how things are, how the wind is blowing. She has no choice. She must delay it. She has to wait for some indication, something that is going to send her in the right direction. She doesn't have anything. She has no choice. She has to say, come to the party, and tomorrow I will do what the king says. And the Gemara, I think, wants to explain that by saying, whenever there's a battle between Israel and Amalek, the decision ultimately takes place Machar. When Amalek attacks in the desert, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yahushua, Zechar lanu anoshim, put together an army and go wage war with Amalek. Machar, tomorrow, I will stand on the top of the mountain and pray. Shmuel is told to go destroy Amalek, and it says, Macha, the next day, he went out and began the battle. There's something about things. Shaul. When Shmuel tells Shaul to destroy Amalek, Macha, she's waiting for some kind of a divine communication. And boy, is she going to get a divine communication. Oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? This Haman is going to come home from this party. He's going to decide. And you know what happens? As he walks out of this party, he bumps into Mordechai. Oh, Mordechai lo kom v'lo zominel. Doesn't stand up. Doesn't even indicate in any slightest way that this guy's walking by. This is the worst blow. The worst blow to his ego. His ego is shattered. By the way, his shattered ego is also going to help. Mordechai is also involved in the gula together with Esther. He shatters Haman's ego, and then you know what's going to happen? Haman is going to start going off in wild directions, and Machar, he's going to end up hanging from that gallows 50 cubits tall. One final thing, I'm going, where did they get 50 cubits is what? 100 feet. That's a shtickle. That's a pretty big piece of wood. Where do you get it? Two answers in Medrash. One Medrash says they got it from Noach's Teva. How do you like that? You would never expect that from the Ark. And the other is they got it from the Beis HaMikdash. Both are symbolic of the idea of the Medrash. In other words, that ultimately the Teva tells us that evil will be destroyed and the good will be saved.
Amen.
And the Mikdash ultimately is the kapora, the strength and the might of the Jewish people, and they remain eternal for all time. Okay, Chag Sameach. Wait. I always say I'm not a coward. I am not going to be here next week. All right, good. That's it. Malchus said it for all of you. I have to be away. Oy vey, she said. There will be a great replacement for me. I'm sorry.
No, I'm going to thank you.